Log Talk Radio.
February 18, 2011, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Is it for the love of money or is it for the love of power? I submit it's both. Yep. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Show. Wow. Democrats. You know, when I first heard about this little stunt they pulled in Wisconsin, I thought, this is so silly. How childish is this? Okay. Hey, you're not going to play my game the way I want to play it. I'm out of here. We're all going to take our stuff and we're going home. We're leaving town. I'm leaving on a bus to Rockford, Illinois, no less. I guess that was the closest city. It is the closest city just outside of Wisconsin. Rockford, Illinois. Has anybody been to Rockford, Illinois? Does anybody still live there? Hey, Kermit. Tesla. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, why the hell, why would anyone go to Rockford? Why not just head straight to Chicago? I mean, Evanston's not that far, but they went to Rockford. Oh, no. Rockford, Illinois is just about as ugly as Kansas City, Missouri, and then St. Louis. Those would have to be the two ugliest towns, and then followed closely by Detroit City. The three ugliest places on God's green earth. Beirut is prettier than those three cities. So they left. But this has happened before. Democrats all in New Mexico, in Texas, well, they didn't get things their way. Yeah. Only two GOP candidates qualified. No Dem in the race. Wow. I tell you what. What is it about Democrats? Okay. Silly, childish, silly behavior. They left town. Why not just stay and vote? And then let their vote speak for them. Instead, they left town. Every single Democrat blew town, and I guess they're going to try to wait the governor out. Well, what is the end game here? They're going to have to come back sooner or later. they're going to have to show. I suspect that they're hoping that pressure, the momentum builds with this manufactured demonstration with union folks and Obama's putting pressure on everybody, that that's going to lessen the resolve of the elected officials in Wisconsin. But that's really not how America works. This is not France. This is not Greece. This is not the UK. Americans are hard-headed and tough and stubborn. No Dem is in the legislative race in Louisiana. Why is that, Kermit? Why is that there no Democrat in the race there? Did they simply not, okay, did they not decide not to participate, I wonder? Well, okay, so they left town, they're gone. My goodness, let's get right down to it. Apocalypse Now, as told by one of my favorite people, Michelle Malkin. She says that this is a critical moment in the nation's battle to dig itself out of debt and free itself from the iron grip of public union monopolies. So, and I agree. As you know from reading the newspapers and watching the news, the Wisconsin showdown has been a long time coming. Long time. And may I remind you that there are many brave workers exposing the corruption and cost of compulsory unionism. So today, we want to talk about, we want to get an overview of the big labor battle in Wisconsin, which is now spreading to Ohio and Indiana, where the DNC are organizing the community of grievance mongers, kicking and screaming against overdue reforms. Overdue reforms, come on. Remember yesterday's show, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What happened to that? Welcome. Welcome to the day of reckoning. We have met the fiscal apocalypse, and it is smack dab in the middle of the heartland of America. As Wisconsin goes, so goes this great nation. So let us pray it does not go the way of the decrepit welfare states of the European Union. Greece for one, England for another, the entire UK everywhere. So the state government workers in the Badger State pay piddling amounts for generous taxpayer-subsidized health benefits. Faced with a $3.6 billion budget hole and a state constitutional ban on running a deficit, new GOP Governor Scott Walker wants public unions to pony up just a little more, put a little more of your own money into your own retirement, and, oh my goodness, pay a little more for your own health insurance. Wow. You know, that's really asking too much. Oh, and also, you know, that whole collective bargaining thing, that's like ruining us too, so you know, we need to deal with that as well. So he proposed raising the public employees' share of health insurance premiums from less than 5% to 12.4%. He's also pushing for state workers to cover half their pension contributions. So as to spare taxpayers the astronomical cost of Byzantine union negotiated work rules. The governor seeks to rein in big labor's collective bargaining power to cover only wages unless approved at the ballot box. So this idea that he wants to tear down the collective bargaining rules to get rid of them altogether is completely erroneous. Well, not completely, but mostly. As you know, as a free market MacGyver Institute in Wisconsin points out, the benefit concessions Walker is asking public union workers to make would still maintain their health insurance contribution rates at the second lowest among Midwest states for family coverage. And moreover, a new analysis by benefits think tank HCT Trends shows that the new rate would also be less than the employee contributions required at 85% of large Milwaukee area employers. This modest call for shared sacrifices has triggered the wrath of the White House. Big labor Michael Moore deal. So on Thursday, President Obama lamented the assault on unions, the quote, assault on unions, end quote. AFL-CIO and Service Employees International Union bosses dubbed Walker the Mubarak of the Midwest, while their minions toted posters of Walker's face superimposed on Hitler's. So whatever happened to that whole whatever happened to that whole civility thing, and being civil and being being able to disagree without being disagreeable? We'll get into that. And then Education Secretary Arne Duncan spurned the opportunity to condemn thousands of Wisconsin public school teachers for lying about being sick, because that's what they were doing. Lying about being sick. So here we have the so-called progressives truly believing that bringing American union workers into the 21st century, bringing them in line with the rest of the workforce, well, that's tantamount to a dictatorship. A dictatorship. So, if ever there were proof that public unions no longer work in the public interest, well, this is it. Big labor workers big dragoon labor workers, dragging them into the world of now, the real world, where we can no longer afford these exorbitant. I think. When we talk about a dictatorship, when they talk about it, You know, I view it as extortion because the unions have gained all that they've gained by simple extortion. You give us whatever we want, how much we want, and we won't strike and disrupt your business. As I said in yesterday's show, there used to be a time when unions, employees organized against employers organized because they were being mistreated. They were not receiving a fair wage. They were not being treated properly in the workplace. They were working under horrendous and horrible conditions, and they felt the need to organize collectively, to become a collective group as one, so that they would be treated fairly in the workplace. Now, it's gone way past that. It's not about being treated fairly. It's not about being treated with dignity. It's about where's mine, what's in it for me, what you can do for me. I guess we've forgotten about the dead in Arizona. We've forgotten about making those folks proud. We've forgotten about all this talk about civility. We've forgotten every single word of it. So let's play this out now. The president wants to play petty political games with the budget. He wants to shut the government down, make no mistake, he does, so that his state-controlled media can distract the nation from his economic and foreign policy failures. Folks, this country is in a mess. A mess. Now, this president is an embarrassment. Weighing in on a state issue, Even if it's good for him, or he believes it's good for him politically because he needs the unions and he desperately needs the state of Wisconsin for his reelection bid, that's one thing. But he's the president of the United States. Is it about him? Of course it is. That was rhetorical. Or is it about this country? One wonders no longer whether or not President Obama believes more that this whole thing, this whole life, this whole existence is about him or about this great nation. There's a reason why I'll only say this once, our president did not wear a U.S. flag lapel pin until he was called on the carpet for it one too many times. This guy's not about America. It's not about the United States of America. It's about Barack Hussein Obama. If he cared about the country, and as I said in yesterday's show, if he were a leader and it were about America, wouldn't you think that his job would be to say, hey, we need some civility here. Both sides have a point. I'm sure they'll work it out. I've got my own budget to worry about right here. Wisconsin will take care of Wisconsin. I'm not getting into that. No. He couldn't help himself. Now, as I stated, this country's in a mess. He promised the opposite of that. This country, indeed, the whole world is in a absolute free fall mess. A mess. And it all seems to coincide with the election of Barack Hussein Obama. It's in an absolute free fall. But it's normal for Obama. He struts around like there's no big deal. I wouldn't be surprised right now if he heads off on vacation somewhere. Martha's Vineyard, Hawaii, you know, the Bahamas. But I suspect the American people will not be distracted by Obama's games and his obvious failures as a president. The impeachable offenses are being committed here right before our very eyes. The American people know that Obama is not the Gipper. He is not Ronald Wilson Reagan, by no means. He can paint himself as the Gipper all he wants. He can paint, well, George Gipp was the Gipper, but he can paint himself as Ronald Reagan all he wants. He's no Reagan. Because I was reminded today that when Ronald Reagan dealt with a similar situation where city workers or federal employees got out of line, he fired each and every one of them. He ordered them back to work. And when they didn't show, they called his bluff, he called theirs. Fired every single one. To this very day, and I checked, not one of the workers, the federal employees that Ronald Reagan fired, has gotten a job in the same field ever again for the United States government. They're done. All right? The American people know that this guy is a fraud. He's not the comeback kid. They know he hasn't moved to the center. Barack Obama is on his way out. And he's digging his own grave. Not grave. I don't want to say that. Next thing you know, the Secret Service will be over here. But the president has thrust himself and his political operation into Wisconsin's budget battle. And it's a mess. Will this guy ever learn? No. He keeps making the same stupid mistakes over and over again. And it will there be a teachable moment again? Will there be a teachable moment? Probably not. The occupation of the Wisconsin Capitol continues, and it's on its third day. And these are not my words. Now, that's the headline of the story in the Communist Party USA's People's World website. That's their headline. And according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the AFL-CIO national president, Richard Trumka, is expected to join, and did, thousands of demonstrators at noon today. He did. So that's sort of like the head of the Muslim Brotherhood showing up at Tahrir Square in Cairo. A check of headlines around the world, well, it was very, very upsetting today. It's not comforting. None of this was supposed to happen. It was all supposed to be, sweetness and light out there, wasn't it? Love and cherish. Utopia was supposed to have settled in by now. Barack Obama was supposed to be like Lincoln, like FDR, like, dare I say it, like Jesus. The shores would, the waters would recede and the skies would clear, and this is the day when the world would heal itself and all of that crap. The world is on fire. The world is burning. What happens in Wisconsin and what's happening this very moment is going to start happening all over the country. And you know what's worse? These thugs, these union thugs and hoodlums, are attacking people who don't agree with them at their homes. They're going to their homes, camping out on their front lawns. Hundreds of folks. And when you make it this personal, when you go to a man's house and you stand out on his front lawn and you issue threats and you carry signs, it's gotten personal. And this is when it goes too far. Now, we saw this earlier last year when the disgruntled folks, I'll just be generic, camped out on CEOs' lawns and bankers' lawns and hemmed them in and issued veiled threats. What's going to happen when real violence rears its ugly head? What's going to happen when there's violence? What's going to happen when shots are fired? Throw a brick through a man's window, or slash his tires, or turn over his car. We're going to have a problem. It's getting way too personal. And unfortunately, Barack Obama is at the center of it all. Because when these union thugs receive the endorsement of the President of the United States, because now it's been revealed that the White House, the President of the United States and his minions are orchestrating most of what we see going on out there. Well, it's an endorsement by the President himself. The name calling, the references to dictatorship and Hitler, the camping out on a politician's lawn at in front of his house, scaring his children and his neighbors. So what's to stop one of these thugs, or a group of them, from simply attacking in the name of unions everywhere, in the name of the president? Throw a brick through a man's window, next thing you know, shots are fired. People are hurt. People are killed. For what? For the love of money? Power? Here in the United States? Yeah, we had similar things go on in the 60s, 70s, and even riots in California in the 90s. But with the President of the United States of America being involved and suggesting that he's siding with the union? The president is the president of... He said he was the president of everybody. He said he was the president not just of white states red states or blue states. He was the president of the United States. And yet, he sides with unions? He's not supposed to take sides. He wasn't supposed to take sides with the Cambridge police against Henry Louis Gates, Should I drop a name now? Can I drop? I know Henry Louis Gates. I know he's a high-strung guy. I know that, you know, he's got that whole slavery thing happening still in his head, even though he was never a slave, even though compared to even the 60s, he's living like a king. A king. But yet he somehow is carrying the ghost of slavery on his back. So whenever, if a white person doesn't say hello to him at the checkout counter, he thinks it's a racist. It's a racist issue. If the person's racist. He said so. So I know the guy. Barack Obama knows him. But Barack Obama chose to get involved in that. He chose to involve himself in what's going on in Arizona. He's involving himself now. He's the president of the United States. When does this ever happen? It's should I say it? Unprecedented. Where a president of the United States involves himself in these tiny little issues. Now, yeah, I said tiny little issues, but I don't really mean it that way. I mean, the president of the United States is the president of everything. Everybody. He's the president of the United States, not the president of some folks. So what is he doing involving himself in these things? It's going to come back to bite him in the ass, just like everything else stupid he's done so far. It's amazing. It's the tipping point. The tipping point has officially been reached. And Richard Trumka is doing his best impersonation of the Muslim Brotherhood, showing up in Madison himself today. Folks, let me ask you a question. Have any of you heard how poorly paid Wisconsin teachers are? Why haven't we heard that? Because they're not poorly paid. If the Wisconsin teachers are poorly paid, the media would be plastering their salaries and benefit schedules and pension plans all across TV news and the front page of every newspaper. Every newspaper. But they aren't doing that because the Wisconsin public sector salaries are way out of line compared to most people in the private sector. They can't paint a picture of hardship. And by the way, we always hear about liberals and everything they do is, well, it's for the children. Does this behavior constitute doing something for the children? Or is it all about doing something for, well, doing something for me? It's all about me. Is this for the children? Does this not look like a bunch of bullying? Thuggery? I thought we were teaching in schools about bullying and how not to be bullies. And what to do if you are bullied. And who are the bullies? The teachers. The Democrats. The leftists. Their media supporters. The union members. Wisconsin has more than 300,000. Now, 300,000 public sector employees. Now, reportedly, many of them, such as teachers in Madison, get health care benefits worth more than $22,000 a year. Free. free. To belabor the point, meaning they don't pay much for it. Very much at all. Nearly free. Free. So that's one of the changes that the governor wants to implement. Have them pay just a little bit of their own health care benefit. There are 300,000 public sector employees, many of them teachers, with health care benefits worth more than $22,000 a year. I thought I'd go ahead and repeat that for you. Where are all the headlines about the protesters in Wisconsin throwing a temper tantrum? Now, we always hear about Tea Party temper tantrums, voter temper tantrums. Here, we have one. We have a genuine, petulant, immature, tireless bunch of bottom feeders, freeloaders, acting in a temper tantrum, not to mention the elected officials who left town, who are holed up in, what, a Holiday Inn or a Marriott in godforsaken Rockford, Illinois. There might be six people there in Rockford. There might be six people in that hotel, not including the children who fled Wisconsin in a fit of petulant childishness. Now, the unions in Washington are hiding behind the children. The unions in Wisconsin are hiding behind the children. They're using children as, I'm going to be shameful here, and I'm going to steal this one from Rush Limbaugh. They're using the children as human shields, just like leftists and terrorists often do. How else would you describe this? What's going on right now in Madison, Wisconsin? How else would you describe it? I'm seeing all these demonstrators and the kind of people involved. Now, I don't really hope this, but I'm saying this to make a point. What would happen if the unions win and Governor Walker's reforms get defeated? Then the unions won't be protected from layoffs, as Mr. Walker has promised. Look, hey, they have a balanced budget amendment that they have to abide by in the state of Wisconsin. It is written in the Wisconsin Constitution. It is a law. So if Governor Walker doesn't get this, hey, thank you, Tesla. Thanks for listening now. I'll check in for your show this weekend. Thank you. If Governor Walker doesn't balance his budget, those folks there will be layoffs. And Walker will not back down. He won't. Have you heard Walker blame his predecessor? Have you heard Walker talk about the rotten situation he inherited? Like our boy, child president, Barack Obama, always does. Like our baby Jesus, Obama, always does. Scott Walker's predecessor, the previous governor, left him a $3.6 billion budget deficit. Obama would be blaming his predecessor all day long in every public statement that he made, and the media would show Obama nothing but sympathy and would join the chorus. Let me say this. A leader doesn't place the blame on someone else, regardless of whether or not the blame is there to be placed. He just doesn't do it. It just isn't done. When you have the when you're in charge and you have the responsibility, you don't blame someone else. We have elected a complete disaster for a president. Oh, how woe is Obama. How woe is Scott Walker. Well, the difference is Walker's a Republican. He doesn't have time to blame anybody. He's got to fix it. That's what a leader does. And the media would not be on his side anyway. And speaking of Obama, Obama has clearly taken the side of the union. The United States president is now interceding in a state matter. It's almost so that he wants a civil war of this nature. Wasn't he supposed to be the guy to unite the United States? Here he is, almost the president of the United States, inciting violence. The president of the United States is inciting unrest in the state of Wisconsin, and Ohio's next. And every other state that has a union. So, let me make sure I understand myself. Our president, the president of the United States, the great uniter, no red states, no blue states, but the United States, is now smack dab in the middle of a union fight against the states in a country that he is supposed to govern. So I guess he's not the president of the United States anymore. He's the president of the union. It's almost as though he wants this unrest so that perhaps he can actually pretend to be Abraham Lincoln, because he so wants to be Abraham Lincoln. So he can pretend to be Abraham Lincoln and solve the problem and fix it, or worse, to, well, it's an emergency situation. So he's going to have to take drastic measures. Because it's an emergency, after all. So he'll probably have to declare martial law and or even perhaps issue an executive order. Dude, this neophyte, this classless, this idiotic president is teetering on treason. In my opinion, treason, I said it. Yeah, I said it. There it is. It's out there. Boom. He's teetering on treason. He's teetering on, I mean, talk about Clinton and impeachment. Clinton was impeached for lying, pretty much. Obama, all the things he's done so far to screw things up, he should have been impeached three or four times. He probably got his version of the Madison address written already and displayed on his teleprompter. He's probably reciting it now, practicing. And, you know, as opposed to the Gettysburg address, he's got the Madison address working. Who knows? But Obama's constantly telling everybody, we all have to make concessions in these difficult times. We all have to make sacrifices. Everybody has to have some skin in the game. Well, apparently he met everybody except the unions or any of the Democrat foot soldiers who might help him get reelected, because it's all about him. It's all about Barack Obama. It's not about the American people. It's not about red states, blue states, American states. It's about Barack Obama. We all have to make sacrifices, except me, Barack Obama. So he's having protesters bust in from all over the country. Ohio is next. Kentucky is next. Tennessee is next. So we have a president who failed in his second, nearly his third year as president, to bring his own country together. The Middle East is on fire. Every country is going broke on all seven continents. America is going broke, but he wants to spend more money than we take in. And then lying, like, you know, like when Bill Clinton waggled his finger and bit his bottom lip and said, I did not have sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. This is the same kind of lie. We will not spend more money than we take in. And then proposes a budget that does just that, by trillions of dollars. Billions of dollars. And that's why Wisconsin is not just the tipping point. Everything that's going on around the world is the tipping point. The tipping point was reached when Barack Obama was sworn in as the President of the United States. That was the tipping point. This guy, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, the first black President of the United States, and remind you, I'm black. The President of the United States, the first black President of the United States, is incompetent. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to say that the President of the United States, the first black president, is incompetent because of the perceived racial over and undertones of issuing such a verdict. Well, he's a black man. He can't be too bright. He's stupid. Oh, but he is. He is incompetent. He was elected not having the gravitas to do the job. You know, folks were quick to label President Bush incompetent, a boob who couldn't string a sentence together. He's a white guy, a rich white guy, too. So it was okay to label him incompetent and stupid and not so smart and a C average student. Barack Obama can't string a sentence together without that teleprompter. But nobody says that he's stupid and can't speak, doesn't speak well when he's off the prompter. Nobody says that. He stammers and stutters in interviews. Nobody brings it up. But George Bush was stupid. Barack Obama is destroying this great country. First, because of his ideology, and second and most importantly, because he is incompetent. He has no idea what he's doing, and he is too stupid or too arrogant to surround himself with people who know what they're doing. Because as he told a young speechwriter who interviewed with him for a job, he says that you'll probably get the job. And I quote, "You'll probably get the job, but I want you to remember that I'll always believe that I know more than you do about the job I'm hiring you to do," end quote. So, because he is so horribly arrogant, he won't bring people into his circle who will advise him and tell him no. He has a bunch of yes folks around him, which makes him look even more incompetent. The tipping point was not Wisconsin, as some have said. It was the election of Barry Barack Hussein Obama. Obama says Wisconsin balancing its budget, mandated budget balancing, law. He says that Wisconsin balancing its budget is an assault on unions. Obama says Arizona protecting its citizens is an assault on federal law. Only a central planning authoritarian thinks this way. What's at issue here is an assault on states' rights. And Barack Obama, the President of the United States, is leading the charge in the assault on states' rights. The media is all concerned about the Republican assault on Obama's budget. Well, let me tell you, the real assault is on Wisconsin. The real assault is in Arizona. The future assaults, federal assaults on states' rights, are just around the corner. From his unconstitutional mandate forcing individuals to buy government-approved health insurance, to suing Arizona, from smearing a police officer, to organizing unions to agitate against the duly elected state governor of Wisconsin. Folks, we have a pattern here of bullying and a flagrant disregard for states' rights being exhibited by the President of the United States of America. This is unprecedented behavior. It's no wonder 26 states have sued this regime to protect themselves from Obamacare. The president is determined to run the country from the White House, and these annoying Republican state governors are not to interfere. The great constitutional scholar, no, he's not, Barack Hussein Obama, is not only, he not only ignores rulings from the judicial branch, he ignores states and their laws. So when protesters in Wisconsin over the last 3 days refer to Governor Walker as a dictator, they should be looking in the other direction, toward the White House. I see a looming dictatorship. Apparently, sadly, they didn't teach federalism in community organizing school, which is where Obama has his real degree. Look at what's going on in Madison, Wisconsin. Look at it. It's a perfect example of community organizing. It's a perfect example of community agitation. This is what we elected president of the United States. This is what we elected. We elected a guy who thinks Saul Alinsky was a founding father. Obama is organizing and encouraging teachers to walk off their jobs, bullying everybody, forgetting the children. He's given thousands of students a get-out-of-class card because Democrats got shellacked in November. And this from a man who lectured the nation while making political hay after a tragic shooting spree by a crazy person, a lunatic. Well, I guess we've forgotten about the dead in Arizona. We've forgotten about making them proud. We've forgotten about all this talk about civility. We've forgotten every word of it. Well, let's see what happens tomorrow. It should be interesting. I want to thank all of you who listen to my show, who will continue to listen. Please do call in from time to time. I have a toll-free number, 877-666-9305 and 347-884-8500. Thank you once again for listening, and hopefully we'll, God willing, we'll be here tomorrow. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. My mama couldn't see him. Oh, but he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend, just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope? Down to us from somewhere up above, they come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. With the light of love.